through this. Just give me a second. Oh, most of y'all may or may not know. I'm sure most of you know. My wife and I have made it through the virus, although she's still suffering from a lack of energy. And that's been incredible. I'm sure it's been mitigated by our age. But I promised the Lord when we got through this, if we got through it, that I would share the goodness that He's shown us. I'm going to jump around just a little bit. And, you know, you get impressed by wanting to do something. Sometimes you think, okay, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? Does the Lord really lead me? And then we sang the song. The song tore me up. Oh. And the reason it did is because when I had the virus, I was probably the second lowest point in my life. And I'll revisit that in just a minute. But this song confirmed my impression. And we all know the words. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. No mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Mary and I got the virus. Well, I got it on July 12th. And I'd had a little experience with it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be sick 4 or 5 days. And I hope to recover because I'm in relatively good health. And no serious comorbidities other than being overweight. No high blood pressure, anything like that. But that was not our course. I was sick for about 8 days. And 4 days after I got it, Marion came down with it. And on the 8th day, I started popping a high fever. It was Friday evening. And I was feverish all Friday night, off and on Saturday, Sunday. And by Monday morning, I got to tell you, I was wore out. I was done. I needed some help. I didn't know what I needed. Praise the Lord, I don't seem to have any sequela. I mean, after effects that a lot of people have had, except for lack of energy. But while I had the virus, I had this brain fog. And Marion will tell you, she had to remind me of stuff and tell me stuff. I couldn't think. But Monday morning, I knew I needed help. I knew I was sick, and I knew the next step was to go to the ER, and I did not want to go to the ER, and I didn't want to go to somebody's office. Nobody wants you to come to the office when you've got it. So anyway, I called for help and talked to a friend of mine, physician, and I'll order you some drugs. Well, I don't know if this was a test, but this was 8 o'clock. So 9 o'clock when the pharmacy opens up, we're calling. Hey, we want to come pick up. Well, we want to get our drugs. Little did I know, Mary and I couldn't leave the house. And I don't mean just for quarantine. I mean, we physically couldn't get up and go. But there was an answer to prayer for that. Well, the pharmacy tells us, we don't have your order. Well, when you're sick and you're in need and you're in help and you want relief, and I know Dallas has just gone through this, I wasn't panicking, but I was just thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do, you know? And so every 30 minutes we were calling. It almost got comical. No, we don't have an order. And I'm thinking, my friend said he was going to take care of me, and I don't have any medication. So anyway, about 12 o'clock, I called a friend of mine. I'll go ahead and call it Steve Ziegler. And I said, Steve, I need help. And little did I know how much he cared. He ordered the drugs, and not only did that, I just found out this yesterday, or Friday. I think Friday, Josh was over. I didn't know about all this. So Dr. Ziegler called my son, Josh, and said, Josh, you need to go check on your daddy. He's sick. He's bad sick. In fact, I'm surprised he's not already over here at the hospital. And long story short, we got our meds. Steve ordered them. Josh picked them up. Mainly it was the steroid you probably have heard about called Decadron. We got our first dose around 6 o'clock in the evening. And within, I think I pegged it around 9:30, 9:45, I knew something was changing. Now, we weren't a lot better, but I knew something was changing. And we continued to get better from there. But he also brought us an oxygen measuring device. And usually, healthy people should be 97, 98, 99 walking around, children and adults. And Mary and I both had slipped down to 93 to 95. It would bounce around, but that means your lungs are not functioning like they should, like other people have had, and worse. But long story short, we continued to get better. And I didn't mean to tell that tale of woe to say I had it the worst, but just to tell you what we'd gone through. But through all that, we were ministered to. There were numerous ones in this congregation who texted us, who called us, brought us food. I can't tell you what that did to our spirits to be checked on and to be looked after. We were so thankful. And thank you to each one of you who took the time out to do that. It meant a lot. And we continued to get better until last weekend. And we had a little setback. I didn't. Marianne developed pleurisy. And she's tough. She's a tough bird. But she was actually screaming out in pain during the weekend. And so bad I had to treat her with narcotics, which she never takes. I mean, she hadn't had a narcotic, I think, in 20 years probably since she's had surgery. But we got an x-ray Monday morning, and she did have a reason for the pain, but it was already resolving, which led us to believe it was due to the virus and not due to something worse. So, amen to that. I just want to testify and thank the Lord for all the blessings. At work, we were blessed, Heath and I both, by the fact that the group had already discussed the fact that not only he and I, but Dustin and Dr. Hancock had got it, but the group had already decided that when we came back that we were to be let go anytime we said, we wove the white flag or the stress card, whatever you want to call it, if we need to leave. So that, I can't tell you what a blessing that was. I did not have to use it, but I tell you what, some afternoons were a grind to get through. But little things mean so much. Monday morning, I was so stressed about, I talked to Harvey Miller, and he was another one who called me every day. In fact, every morning, every afternoon to check on me. But I talked to him about Mary, and he said, yeah, I knew we did. We need a chest x-ray, and we've been pretty busy at work, and I'm not whining about it, and we knew we would because we were so slow for so long and so much was put off. Well, now it's catching up with us, but my dear third son answered my prayer because he had worked late, and so Monday morning he was due to get off early, and he looked at me and said, no problem, go take care of Marion. So he gave me a couple hours. I was able to go home, pick Marion up, and get our x-ray, and find out what's going on. I want to share two other things with you real quick. And I'm ripping this off, which most people do, because there's not a lot of original thoughts. But if any of you saw Fox News this morning or looked at it, it's not just this morning, Max Licato has been putting out some stuff. And he told the story of Joseph. And it was specifically his sons. Now, most of you remember Joseph. Joseph had a problematic upbringing because he was a favorite son, which you can unpack a whole sermon or series on that, on the wrongness of it. But not only did he have a difficult childhood, but then he had a difficult early adulthood after being sold into slavery. Y'all remember the story as good as I did. I do. But he married his first wife. And I don't remember how many wives he had, so forgive me for that. But his first wife was an Egyptian woman called Asenath. And how many of you remember his son's names? Yeah, you do. Come on, you Bible teachers. Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, in the Bible, we know that names carried weight. They didn't just name their son or their daughter. There's always a reason. How many times have you read in the Bible, I'm going to call my son or my daughter this because of what God has done or because of certain events? Joseph, after all he had been through, after all he had lost, after all the persecution, after being in prison, calls his first son Manasseh. Why? God has caused me to forget. Forget what? The bitterness of his early life. What did he call his second son? Ephraim, God has made me fruitful. God has blessed me. And that blessed me so much today after coming through this episode, because I was kind of like Dallas at my lowest in the virus. Why am I being persecuted? Why am I so low? Why am I so sick? Why aren't I getting better? And I'm sure that's nothing nobody else in this congregation hadn't gone through in your life. I want to read you, just as a blessing, because it blesses me so much, Psalm 103. This song has meant, psalm has meant a lot to me over the last 15 to 20 years, and I've revisited it many times. The title of it, if you want to title it, is Praise for God's Mercies. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all whom are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions or sins from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place is remembered no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, you who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of the Lord, of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank y'all.
Amen. Oh, dog. I really shouldn't be amazed. Sorry, I lost my place. Thank you, Pete. I really appreciate it. Y'all hang with me for a minute. Psalms, is that in the Old Testament or New Testament? I really shouldn't be amazed when this happens, because, you know, I've only been pastoring here, you know, October will be 4 years. Can you believe that? And but I've been preaching the word for a long, long time, you know. And I've seen this happen so many times when God just really shows out. And he really shows up, and he really connects all these pieces together. And it's like when you know everything in the background and what's happening, it's just like God becomes so real. And what I mean by that is, even simple things like you know, with Angela and Gary, lately I just kind of stay out of the music, right? What you play and that kind of thing. I trust them that they're praying and, you know, that kind of thing. And then, you know, this week, though, I don't remember what day it was, but I text Gary. I said, you know, can you play that hymn, Great Is Thy Faithfulness? And see, God was planning that a whole time to just target right into Pete's heart about that. And it goes along with my message. And then the title of my message is God is Trustworthy. And then they're come up singing this song this morning about, you know, trusting the Lord and trusting God. And it just all comes together and it's beautiful. And maybe it was just for me, but I don't think so. But I think it's for everyone that it's just really evidence that, you know, God is just so real. He's in control and he's got all this, you know, in the palm of his hand, you know, right? Amen. And it's just very encouraging for me. So, amen. I'm aware of the time, but we're all good, right? Everybody good? Amen. Everybody stand for me, and let's read God's Word together. That way you can stretch your legs. Been here. But thank you, Mr. Pete. That's awesome. Thank you for your testimony. I want to encourage others to share your story. You know, share your testimony, you know, and let's brag on Jesus. We're going to be in Psalms chapter 36. Psalms 36, and there he has it on the board. So just bear with him. I'm going to read it all. So here we go, Psalms 36. And the oracle, let's pray first. Let's pray first. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to come and share your word and teach your word and listen to your word and fellowship together. And Lord, it is exciting to see folks begin to start coming back to your house. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, thank you for Pete's and Marianne's testimony and what he shared this morning. Lord, thank you for providing healing for Melissa and all the other folks that have suffered from this corona virus and Lord, other ailments and other things that's going on. We pray for all of our church family and our church members and Lord, wherever they're at home or Lord, we just thank you for the blessings. Thank you for everything you've given us. We pray for this word, pray for the message, help me teach it and preach it as you put it on my heart. And again, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms 36 is an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. Verse 3, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, and he's changing gears. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. See, God loves animals too. Number 7. Really study that one, though, about God saving and preserving man and beast. This is an interesting little study. Anyway, side note. Number 7, verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart, and not the foot of pride come against me. And let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Everybody say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I kind of like that standing and everything reading, right? That's kind of cool. All right, so again, I've titled this, God is Trustworthy. I heard about a bumper sticker on a car that read, "Honk if anything is falling off." Anybody felt like that in your life before? You know, you feel like sometimes that every little thing is starting to go wrong, you know? Every little thing is starting to happen. Not to beat a dead horse, but for some of you know, I went through 4 kidney stones in a week. Lynn and I had the COVID. Then after that was over, about 2 days later, the water pipe busted in our front yard. We had water everywhere, and our front yard was dug up. You know, woe is me. Got that fixed. And all of a sudden, our garage door opener wouldn't work. And I'm like, what is going on? Then after that, our ice maker wouldn't work. Now, I know that's little goofy little problems that don't really matter in the grand scope of things. But, you know, it's just a kind of a pain, you know. One thing after another, I was like, Lord Jesus. But here's the thing. After all that, from the very major thing of the kidney stones, which actually I felt like I was going to die. I'm not kidding you. Peter, no, I talked to him a couple times. I really thought I was going to die. I'm not kidding you. I'm being literal. I mean, this is my time. I'm going. You know, all the way to my ice maker don't work. And we fixed the garage door. It was one of them little goofy little things on the socket where you had to punch the red button. You know what I'm talking about? What is that called, Adam? A little breaker thing on the, you know, so anyway, I reset the little thing. Okay, whatever. But my ice maker still don't work. But if that's my worst problem, I got it made, right? Amen. But through all that, you know, it just, God is trustworthy. He is faithful. He loves us. And he is trustworthy. I can trust him through the major things and all the way down to my crazy ice maker, you know. Definitely. 2 Corinthians, this is what it reminds me of. 2 Corinthians 12:9. You know, Jesus told Paul, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." No matter where you're at in life, no matter what's going on, really, God's grace is sufficient for you. And Jesus says, "For my power is made perfect in your weakness." And then Paul throws in this part, says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's power in what Mr. Pete shared this morning, wasn't it? I mean, I saw your faces, y'all all glued in, some of you tearing up. There's power in that. There's power in that testimony. There's power in sharing the goodness of what God's done for you in your life. Even if it hadn't worked out yet, there's power in your ability to have the faith that God's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. He promised that. No matter what happens, you know, ultimately, if I die of, you know, whatever's going on, hope not too soon, but ultimately, I'm going to be in heaven, right? I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. So, as a good Baptist preacher, I got to cover my 3 points. Is that okay? So, hang with me. I'm aware of the time. First point is, God is trustworthy. Everybody say trustworthy. Trustworthy, okay? And we're going to skip verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4 and come back to that later, but this covers verses 5 and 7. Notice how the psalmist compares the character of God to nature. You see, what it is here is he wants there to be no doubt left in our mind that God is trustworthy. No doubt. He is trustworthy because God is able to provide our deepest needs. He loves us. He's on our side. He can provide for us the needs that no human being can provide. No government program can provide. No amount of financial resources or assets can provide what God can. And no amount of personal achievement that we get can provide like God can provide for us. He can provide our physical and our emotional needs. Amen? He can. Now, looking at verse 5 real quick, says the scripture says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens." And this means that God's mercy, in His mercy, He is dependable. We can depend on God. He is dependable. You see, the great and mighty powers of this world will let you down pretty much every time. But God will never let us down. We can trust in Him every single time. Now, I don't know if you've noticed my little post on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and remember the little post about God reaching down in the water, picking up, I assume it was Peter. And God says, I hear your prayers, but you got to wait on my timing. Right? So we got to be waiting on God's timing. So this whole, God is faithful. He is faithful. Like Pete read, the great is thy faithfulness hymn. He read the words. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. It's literally the same one. I've got it written down right here. My Father, there is no shadow of turning from with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. That's a powerful hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. See, the scripture goes on to talk about righteousness. God's righteousness is like the great mountains. He's comparing it to nature, you know. God's righteousness means that we can depend on His holiness, that He is sovereign, He has everything in control. We can trust God's integrity, if I could even say that. You know what I mean? That's kind of a goofy, weird thing to say, but God says it, He's going to do it. God, right? God's integrity. We can trust in Him. Because of His righteousness, we know that God really has the best interest in mind for us. He really does want what's best for us. Yes, we may have to go through the struggles of life and sometimes pain and sometimes sadness, but in the end, God has the best in store and interest in His mind for us. The scripture goes on to say, your judgments are a great deep. And see, this is showing us that God is really not passive. He's not just kicked back, waiting, and seeing what's going to happen. The Lord is His action. His judgments reflect that we can trust Him. He can handle anything that's going on in our lives. He is trustworthy. That Psalm scripture goes on and says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Everybody listen. Listen to this. It's okay. It's okay. We can give God control of our life. We can trust Him to lead us the right way. It's okay to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to trust You in this. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. All right, Lord, I'm done. I am not going to be fearful about this anymore. I'm giving it to You. I want to trust You because You love me and You're trustworthy. God loves us. He is a good, good Father. I know I say that a lot. I love that song. But He is a good, good Father. There's goodness. Psalms 33:5 says this. 33:5, He says, Psalms 33:5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. All right, point two. Talks about man trusting. And we're going to jump into 7 on this one. It says, because God is trustworthy, our appropriate response is to what? Be thankful and trust Him. To trust Him. Verse 7 says, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Your wings. Wow. I could preach a whole message on that one, but I'm going to stay away from that one for right now. Maybe we'll come back to that one verse. In Psalms 36:7, which we just talked about, it's interesting because over 50 times the word trust comes up. Over 50 times. The word trust is one of the greatest themes in the book of Psalms. Really, the whole book, the whole Bible, it's one of the great themes. Okay? Trust. Now, notice that trust in Psalms 36, verse 7, is contrasted with the first 4 verses. So we skipped over those, okay? But here we go. Psalms 36, 1 through 4. I'm going to clear that up real quick, and we'll move on. It says, we find the description of the wicked men who do not trust the Lord. Okay? So what does it really mean to trust the Lord? See? It is not just to say, I trust the Lord, on the surface. It's really more than that. I mean, here's a point, a goofy little point, okay? But on our money, it says what? In God we trust. Yet the love of money has kept thousands and thousands of people from trusting God. So it's more than just, you know, being superficial with that. Trust in the Lord has to come from deep down in our soul. It's an act of faith. That it's acting out that faith of really trusting the Lord. All that we are must be surrendered to the experience of trust for us to live a vibrant Christian life. Because if we don't really trust the Lord, we're going to live a whole life full of fear and worry and anxiety and just, you know, and that's no way to live. That's why a lot of Christians live with this worry and fear. They don't really trust in God. They don't really trust God. And this is something that came to me when I was studying all this, is maybe they don't know how to trust God. You know? So that might be a subject we talk about later. A lot of folks kind of go through the motions. I'm not trying to be a downer here, you know, but go through the motions. They kind of fit in. You know, I was talking to a friend this weekend, and he was talking about his precious mother. Taught Sunday school for 40-something years, you know, and just, you know, wonderful lady. She was, I don't know, in her early 70s maybe, and he was talking about her. Just sharing a funny story, but I remembered the scripture and this my message. It says she just lives in so much fear. You know, she's got, you know, her and her husband, you know, have all kind of guns in her house. Nothing wrong with that, you know, but expensive alarm system, and she was always just worried and skittish and fearful and everywhere she went. And I just thought, man, what a precious, precious, sweet lady that's taught Sunday school for half her life, but she's still walking in this fear and this anxiety and this stress and this worry. And I said a little prayer for her last night, hoping that, you know, even at her age, you know, she can just grab a hold of that and be free of that. Now, I'm not talking about being responsible, you know, being a responsible person and protecting your family or anything like that. But I just want her to be able to really be set free of that, you know. And we can be. You know, if I'm speaking to you this morning, you know, you can be set free of that. You can, you know, God said he did not give us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind, right? We can trust him. He is trustworthy. Real trust means we have to demonstrate that trust by surrendering everything to God every day. Everybody say every day. Every day. Every day. That's it. When the sun comes up that morning, we have to give it over to God, don't we? We do. When the sun goes down that night, we thank God for what's going on, what happened that day. When the sun comes up the next morning, we got to give it over to God. We got to trust him. If we give God control of our life, it means that there are things we will experience that we will not understand. Some of us have been through that. This don't make sense, God. Why? You know, most of us have been through that in life when things happen. We need to praise the Lord. We can have confidence that he knows what he's doing. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. Oswald Chambers said this. Anybody ever tried to read some of his stuff? Oswald Chambers? I had to give up the original version. My IQ's not high. But, you know, Oswald Chambers wrote, and listen to this. Trustfulness is based on confidence in God, whose ways I do not understand. If I did, there would be no need for trust. That's so true, isn't it? That is so true. I'm going to quote one other guy. Some of you will remember this. Well, most of you will remember this. Maybe not the young folks. But former NBC News anchor, John Chancellor, Anybody remember that name? Remember him? John Chancellor, who actually died in 1996 of cancer, he commented in an interview before his death. He said, "As I've read somewhere, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans." You ever heard that before? That's so true. Now, some of us here today, if you're listening, we've got some troubles going on in our lives. You know, we've got challenges. We've got things coming up. All of us go through trials and tribulations in life. That's called living on earth. Can I get an amen? It happens. You can love Jesus with all your heart, teach Sunday school for 40 years, you know, and still have troubles. Be assured that whatever is happening in your plans, whatever's happening in your life, God is in control. He wants you to give Him the opportunity to help you. He just wants you to talk to Him. Pray. Ask Him. Lean on Him. He wants to help you. Here's the third point. And then we'll try to close through this. Everybody good? Point three, God satisfies. And really try to get this point here. It's very interesting to me, but God satisfies. See, the last part of this psalm, you'll notice that the psalmist does something very interesting. He concludes with the bad news. And we're kind of used to, you know, bad news first, and then we ended up with some good news. But he twisted around on this. Verse 8 through 10, which offers satisfaction. If you really study this and read it, it offers satisfaction. It's contrasted with the hopelessness of verses 11 and 12. And let's read those, because it may apply to someone here today. I'm not sure, but God knows your heart. In verse 12, we have a brief message about the hopeless doom of one who does not trust in God. And when you really study this, it's talking about this salvation trust. This, you know, we've got to trust God for our salvation. In other words, we need to be born again. We need to place our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Surrender to the God's grace, mercy, have faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This is all part of the salvation and trusting God. The scripture says, "There's the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and not able to rise." Guys, that's sad. That's the hopelessness of not trusting God for your salvation. Amen? Now, let's talk to you Christians, who believers, real quick. It says, you know, as Christians, we have a choice. I'm going to say something kind of strong, so if I step on your toes, you'll be okay. Just keep coming back. Right? As Christians, we have a choice. Okay? We can be debilitated. We can be debilitated by our lack of trust in God, or we can be assured that God satisfies. That God satisfies if we trust Him with every little area of our life. We've got to trust God. If not, you could be a Christian born again, got your fire insurance and everything. I mean, you know, going to heaven, I say that lightly, but you know what I mean. And you can still struggle through life and be beat up and tossed in the winds and waves and just kind of not really live that victorious life that Christ wants us to live. Well, you know, we can still have problems, yeah. Okay? But listen to this verse. Listen to this verse. I'm going to just read it again. They are abundantly satisfied. Everybody say satisfied. I know it's kind of goofy for me to do that, but I just want to drive that home. The scripture, not Dallas, this is not my opinion, but the scripture is saying they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. I mean, listen to those words. I mean, Wednesday night we're going through a little Bible study, you know, overview of the different books of the Bible. I remember just talking about Psalms, you know, being the book of poetry, you know, and wisdom and that kind of thing. Man, this is poetic. This is poetry. The fullness of God's house. Think about that. Drink from the river of God's pleasures. What does God really want for your life? What pleases Him about you? What can you do for Him that pleases Him? You know, right? I know it's a lot of you talked about with Pete and Marianne and not picking on Melissa, but Melissa, you know, and then you guys did for us too, man. That was awesome. But as God used you guys to bring over food or text or give us calls or check on us and those kind of things, that pleases the Lord. I really believe that. That's our calling, is to minister to one another. That's right. God says, you know, be ministers of reconciliation. We're ministers of the gospel, and that's what you guys were doing. And you were showing God's loving kindness, and it was pleasing God as you guys did that, as you do things for your neighbors and your coworkers and your family and that kind of thing. That's awesome. That's the poetic blessings of God. I love that. Wow. Do you think these things can satisfy you? When you do loving things and you're kind to one another, doesn't that satisfy you? You feel good, don't you? You feel good in your heart. You feel good because you know you're blessed and you're in God's will, really. You see, the problem in our world is not that God is unable to satisfy. It is that we have become so satisfied with so much less than God. Please, not trying to insult you, but don't let that one go right over your head. I'm going to say it again. The problem in our world is not that God is unable to satisfy. It is that we have become satisfied with so much less than God. Amen? Really? I'm talking to me too. I'm preaching to me. You know? We have become satisfied with unrighteous things that God will not provide us. I want to say cannot, but God can do anything He wants to do. So I'm going to say He will not, you know? If you are not satisfied with trusting in God, then maybe you need to get more serious about your Bible study and your personal prayer time. Is it fair to say that? If He doesn't satisfy you, then you may need a fresh touch of His grace and mercy. Now, I've seen times in my life, when I say that, what I mean is, there's times in my life that I needed that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, that fresh touch of God's grace and mercy. In other words, when you are touched by God's grace and mercy, usually like kind of in your thinking, it happens in your soul, I believe, but when you're thinking about that, from my experiences, I'm reminded of how sinful I am and how much I need a Savior. I'm reminded of how many things really I've done wrong and I shouldn't have done, and I see myself as really that unrighteous type person in desperate need of a Savior. And it kind of puts me in my place. Kind of says, you know, and then God's grace and His mercy begins to flood my soul, and I begin to it just fills me up when I know that in spite of everything I've done, yet when I was a sinner, Christ died for me. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That old things have passed away and all things become new. And when these scriptures begin to come alive in me, right? Then I begin to really get a tiny, tiny little bit of understanding of that grace and mercy. And it fills me up. It fills my cup up. Because I know, in spite of Dallas, whatever, Jesus loves me and He died for me. And really, He made me righteous. Not really right now, but when I get to heaven and I stand before God in heaven and He says, "Why should I let you in my heaven? You know, I'm not going to bring up anything about me. I'm not going to say I did this and I did this. Oh, I was a preacher for a few years and I did this and led so many people to Christ. Nah, I ain't bringing none of that up. I'm going to say it's all about Jesus. It's all about what He did for me on the cross. Every single thing, 101%, 110% about Jesus and what He did. And when you start thinking that way, I'm assuming you feel it right now, don't you? When you start feeling that way, that's that grace and that mercy that just pours upon you and you realize it ain't about me. It's about Christ. Great is His righteousness. Right? I'm going to close with this little illustration. So I'm going to read this so y'all hang with me. A young father and his daughter were on a getaway cruise because his wife and the girl's mother had just died. As they were huddled together on the front deck of the ship, coping with the pain, the little girl asked her father, "Daddy, does God love us as much as Mommy did?" At first, the father didn't know what to say, but he knew he couldn't sidestep the question. Pointing out across the water to the most distant horizon, he said, "Honey, God's love reaches farther than you can see in that direction." Turning around, he said, "And God's love reaches farther than you can see in that direction." And then the father looked up at the sky and said, "And God's love is higher than the sky too." Finally, he pointed down at the ocean and he said, "And it's deeper than the ocean as well." After hearing that, the girl responded, "Oh, just think, Daddy. We're right here in the middle of it all. Isn't that precious? Do you know that if we really trust God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind, we're standing right in the middle of God's love." Amen? God is trustworthy and He satisfies our soul. Trust Him today and experience the salvation of His fullness. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you that the word of God can sometimes correct us and put us in our place and encourage us and give us motivation and lead us and direct us. And Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for providing all the answers for us. Thank you for providing your son, Jesus. Father, if there's anyone here today that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that during the song of invitation, they would come down and talk to me, and I'd be glad to pray with them, and we can settle that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.